This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. Our theme for this year is prayer. Listening and speaking, doing and being. I don't know if you listened to the news this morning, there was a survey out, just been published this morning, that over 50% of the population of the UK pray regularly. Even the ones who don't believe in God find themselves praying regularly. And we think prayer is important, and we should get better at it and do more of it. We tend to be on that end of the spectrum. But we're not sure often how to do that or what to do. What is it? What isn't prayer? How? When? Why? Ruth alluded to some of these questions. What happens when we pray? What's going on? Are we changing God's mind? We're going to talk and learn about prayer this year, and we're going to practice prayer, and we're going to do prayer. And by the end of the year, I'd love Leeds Vineyard to be a place of prayer, a house of prayer, even more than it is, somewhere where everyone can pray, anybody can come through the doors to pray, where may we be known as a people, a group of people who pray. And our sort of formal launch of this will be next month when we have a month of prayer and fasting, which is something we do every year around about this time. And the fasting is going to be, I'll explain this more nearer the time, but it's going to be swapping our, you can fast anything you like, and you don't have to fast at all. This is an invitation, okay? We're not telling you what to do. And some of you will have your own ways that you want to fast. But I'm going to suggest that as part of our theme, that you fast by swapping your doing for being. Something that you do, swap it for something to be. Have a think about that, and we'll talk about it more later. Our theme for the prayer and fasting month is going to be waiting on God. Waiting on God. And you're all, if you come in 2 weeks' time, you're all going to get a copy of this book, Waiting on God by Andrew Murray. It's an ancient book. But it's got 31 reflections in it, one for each day of the month, although I know there's only 28 days in February. So you could do more than one if you like, one of the days. And it's called Waiting on God, and it's 31 reflections, mainly from the Psalms, on waiting on God. And I think you'll find it really helpful, especially if you persist right through to the end. It's a really helpful devotional book. So we're going to do that together, or you're invited to join with us in doing that together. And then we're going to pray together on Sundays. We're going to pray together in small groups. We're going to study some content in small groups as well as on Sunday, linking them together. There's going to be opportunities for 24/7 prayer and various things like that. So look out for February and commit yourself to a time to praying with us and together as well as on your own. The four talks I'm going to do in February and actually the first week in March is going to be about prayer is a response. Prayer is a response. We pray because God first spoke to us. By definition, you can't pray to something that hasn't already revealed itself to you. So prayer is a response. I'm going to explore that in the first week. The second week, prayer is emotional. We tend to pray sort of by rote, or I do anyway. I go through lists and I read things. And actually, my conversation with Alison isn't a list of to-do things. Or I don't read her texts. My conversation with Alison is emotional. And I think I want to talk about how our prayer life can be emotional. Not emotionalistic, but emotional, using our emotions. Third week, we're going to look at prayer turns theology into experience. So we believe some things, but when we pray about them, it puts it into practice. So for one example, if you believe in the power of healing, and then we pray for somebody to be healed, and we see them healed. We're putting our theology into practice, into experience. And we're going to look at that. And then week four, you are your prayer life. You are your prayer life. We'll look at what we are like. Over the year, we're going to build up a lot of resources on the website mainly. There'll be these books and some others. We'll recommend some books to you, some articles, some podcasts to listen to, some websites to look at, some tools and ideas about how to pray. We'll build it up over the year. And I think it'll be a really helpful year. We won't do it every single week, but we'll do this a lot of the time. Next week is communion, and next week is also our reflection on 2017, and I want to talk about our vision and what's happening with Vineyard House in 2018. In particular, we're going to look at another one of our rocks, the Hungry Rock. If you're not sure what that means, come next week and we'll explain it. So, turning to the subject of prayer. And 2 weeks ago, Anne spoke from Nehemiah 4 about identifying the low points in the wall and putting a guard to pray over them. And last week, Liz spoke from Isaiah 62 about becoming watchmen and watch women and learning to prophesy and intercede. My theme today is every garden needs a gardener. Some of you are thinking about your garden and you're agreeing with me. It definitely needs a gardener. I wonder what your garden is like. We have one, but neither of us are much good at the gardening thing, frankly. Alison probably would be if she had the opportunity. I don't think I would, even if I had the opportunity. Last year, I've been outside the window I sit at a lot. There's a desolate border. And I thought, right, it's time to liven this up. So I took some advice and I went shopping and went to one of those, garden centres. Bought some flowers. I spent what seemed to be quite a lot of money on what seems quite small specimens of undergrowth. but we planted it, and every day, twice a day, before work and at the end of the day, I dutifully watered it. Until I realized that I was watering the weeds because the slugs had eaten the flowers. Uh-huh. So I read Genesis 2:15 with emotion. Are you ready? Genesis 2, chapter 15. The Lord took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. The Lord took the man, and that's not man gender, it's mankind. He took mankind and he said, there's the garden, work it and care for it. This is God's word to us, and it's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So this is about how God gives us a prayer purpose in life, which is to look after the garden, or we might call it an allotment. I want to use the gardening metaphor to talk about how we can pray. How the main gardening tool, the main tool for working and caring in our role, is prayer. And this injunction about working and caring for the garden provides us with a metaphor, with a tool, with a model for how to pray. Number one, to care for it by looking out for the slugs, discerning in prayer the threats to the garden, the threats to what's in front of you, what the enemy wants to do to spoil it, to destroy the garden. And secondly, to work in the garden by praying for what it could and should be. What it's meant to look like, what fruit is it meant to bear? Praying for the full measure of what God has for you. Those are the two parts of this injunction. Just the week before, Alison and I took a few days off and we went to Paris. And there's Alison standing in front of the Jardin du Luxembourg. And at the far end, you can see the Senate, the French Senate, where they have some of their government. And if you look at the close-up. If you look at the tops of these trees, they're very neat, aren't they? And when we went, they had these big cherry pickers that were going down the side and they were with massive, great, big saws, were just sawing off the edge, and then across the top, just sawing off the top. That's one form of caring and looking after your garden. Big equipment, fenced off against the intruders. In fact, the Jardin de Luxembourg, if you look at the map, it's got a shaded area down the side, and I spent a good 3 hours looking at that, trying to figure out what it was in French. It worked out that that's where you're allowed to take your dogs, and they fence it off, the rest of it, from dogs. So they're protecting the garden from people who are walking their dogs. Every garden, even one like that, needs a gardener. Every allotment needs work and care. And God gave mankind the Garden of Eden to work and care for, and he gives us a part of his garden, a plot in his allotment to work and care for. What am I talking about? What is your garden? You may have several gardens or plots, and they may change over time. What I believe is that God sent his son, Jesus, to the world to save us, and he's got this big mission he's on to extend his kingdom and to bring salvation to the world. And we have a part to play in that. And that's what I mean by your garden. What part are you playing in this mission in your life? You are each of you offered a unique calling within God's kingdom plan. And he says to us, here you are. Here's your bit. Here's your part of the garden. Work at it and care for it. Henry Nguyen, in his book, Bread for the Journey, he says this: we are unique human beings, each with a call to realize in life what nobody else can, and to realize it in the concrete context of the here and now. What is your unique calling? What do you need to realize in life that's for you and nobody else to do? And what does it look like in the here and now? For 2018. I have several parts to my garden, if you like. I've got my family. I've got my church family. I've got a business I run in the city center. I've got myself and my health. I've got a number of things that I have to, that only I can do, and I attend to and I pray for. Right now, the part of the garden that's getting the most attention is my family, not my immediate family, Alison and the boys, but my brothers and sister. Because as many of you know, we are about, on Friday, we got the funeral for my father, who died a couple of weeks ago. And it's put the five of us, the siblings, in an interesting situation. We all get on reasonably well in the sense that we love each other, but we're grown-ups now. We've not been together as siblings for 30 or 40 years. You know, we've done our own thing. We're all quite strong personalities. You know what I'm like. I've got a brother who's a consultant surgeon. Think I'm bad? And then I've got another brother who's a headmaster. Think I'm bad? And so I'm working really hard, and I'm praying for that part of my family as we deal with a really difficult phase of our life. That part of my garden needs caring and looking after and protection from the enemy. Do you get what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So what's yours? If you're a student, maybe it's getting a decent degree. Maybe that's a thing you've got to do, God's given you to do for this period, this season in your life. Or maybe it's family like me, or your marriage, or your children, or your elderly parents. Or maybe it's somebody who needs to know about Jesus who's been put in your orbit. I hope for many of you it's the church family. That's one of your areas of the garden that you pray for and you invest in, you look after. Maybe in your small group or in Vineyard Kids or just the mission of the church. Do your finances need some attention? Or maybe your interior self, you're just a bit rubbish on the inside. You look fine on the outside, but on the inside. Your devotional life maybe, or discipleship. What unique call on your life is, and there may be more than one and it'll change over time, but for this year, for now, what's the unique thing that you can realize, as Nguyen says, a plot that nobody else can attend to, that's yours? Just have a think. If you've got a phone, maybe text yourself what it is, or put it in your diary app to think about, or your prayer app if you've got one, or write a note in the back of your Bible. My part of the garden is this. What state is it in, that part of your garden? Does it look a bit like this? This is in a bit of a desperate state. Can you see that? Overgrown, untended, hard to tell which is which. Or is it in a better state? Is it more like this one? What's your garden like? What's your plot like? What does it mean? I want to just address this question of, or the phrase of to work it and take care of it. I'm not very good at Hebrew, so I'm not going to even try and pronounce the words. But there are two words used in this verse. One is the NIV translates to work at it on the left hand side, and it translates to take care of it is on the right hand side. So the left hand side we've got serve, to till, to tend, to cultivate. That's the meaning of that work. And the other word is to guard, to watch over, to protect, to keep, to take care of. So the NIV translates it to work and to take care. Others translate it to till and to guard. The New Living Translation, which I liked, says tend and watch over. I like that, tend and watch over. The good news, the one that's in the Bible here, though we don't use it, is says to cultivate and guard. And interestingly, these are the same two words that are used often to describe the job description of the priests in the temple in the Old Testament. So their role was twofold. It was to cultivate, to look after the worship ministry of the sanctuary. That was their job, was to make sure that people were looked after and were able to worship and that God was worshipped there. And the other part of their job was to guard it and to protect it from invaders and from people wrecking it. That's the same language. And I think it's a really useful language to take on for prayer. It's a really helpful metaphor. One, prayer that is guarding and protecting. And the other is that prayer that's serving and cultivating. Let me just look at those briefly. First of all, to care for your allotment, to care for your part of the garden by looking out for slugs. To discern and pray against the enemy's schemes to destroy your garden. You know, the garden that you're called to look after is meant to be beautiful, but somebody wants to spoil it. The enemy doesn't like that. And so part of our job is to discern what's the enemy going to do to spoil it and to pray against that. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We have an enemy who wants to wreck everything good, especially the things that you're cultivating so carefully. You want to produce something beautiful and abundant, and he doesn't want that. Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse 18, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests." With this in mind, he says, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Be alert. And there's a sense in the way that they tell us to pray, which is to say, "Lord, what's going on? Where is the danger?" It's a guarding prayer. It's a watching over prayer. "Lord, show me where the danger is. Show me the schemes of the evil one so that I can pray against them." It's a posture, actually, of not talking, but of listening. What do I need to listen out for, God? What are you saying? What are you warning me about? And it can come through scripture and counsel and intuition and premonition and words of knowledge and dreams and visions, most often with the still small voice. But we need to be listening, stopping, waiting, like we're going to do next month. So in my role as a senior pastor here, I often get people who come to me with a dream they've had or a vision they've had, which has a warning element to it. Look out for this, David. And it's really helpful. And I'll stack, if I get three or four on the same theme, I'll take counsel about it, and I may well take action, and I'll definitely pray into it. It's exciting to pray like this. This is frontline action as a Christian. It's to discern what the enemy is doing and pray against it. That's something that's really exciting to pray into. And I'd encourage you to go for it. The other part of the word, or the phrase, the other word in the phrase, it says, is to work in the garden by praying for what could be and should be, what it's meant to look like, what fruit is this garden meant to bear, and to pray for the full measure of what God has for you. So think back to what you said about when I asked you what your garden was. What was it? Well, think about it. What part does it play in God's big mission? Is it just raising your children? Is it just doing a good job at work? Is it looking after your interior self? What is it that you are called to pray into? And if you meditate on that, think about what could be, what should be. It's not a status quo prayer. It's not just damage limitation. It's not just mowing the lawn. This is prayers that seek out the full potential of what God has for you, the full abundance of God's creative will. Can you imagine what his garden could look like? Use a journal and a pen and paper and say, Lord, what do you want this garden? What do you want this bit of my life to look like? And write down what comes into your mind straight away and pray for that. It's an exciting way of praying. If the other way of praying is frontline warfare, this is an exciting way of praying of what could be. So, for me, praying for my family, I could just pray, God, help us not to argue. That would be a perfectly legitimate prayer and one that's needed. Not that we're arguing all the time, but we're having to work quite hard to not argue. But my prayer instead is not that. It's Lord, use this occasion, this tragedy, which has got to come, to forge a stronger, more beautiful family. May we have great relationships and learn to trust one another and be sensitive to one another deeply. How about that as a prayer? Isn't that something to go for? What's your version of that? What's your ambition for what God could do? Not just to rescue your marriage, but turn it into an example and a flourishing, enjoyable partnership. Not just to get on top of your finances, but to become a generous and joyful giver. Not just to get your degree, but to enjoy your studies and get a great degree and to mature and grow as you learn and learn things that will make you a great world changer. How about that as a prayer? Jesus says in Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Let's ask for the most creative and abundant things we can that we think God wants to do. Have a think about your part of the garden. Color in the black and white. How can you really serve and cultivate and tend that garden through your prayers? It's exciting to pray like this with imagination and ambition. Let me wrap up. So I've been trying to address, using the metaphor of the garden, to address how we pray over the key issues and the key parts of our lives that God gives us, the unique parts he gives us to address and to deal with. And he says, go on, look after it and protect it. And the first thing is that prayer doesn't have to be mundane or repetitive all the time. There are times to mow the lawn and trim the hedge, but there are times to build fences and to destroy predators. There are times to think creatively and plan for color and fruit in the garden. And I want you to listen up, I want you to listen for God's still small voice, for his promptings about how to pray against the schemes of the enemy. The extent to which you don't listen out for that gives him free rein. So listen out for what the enemy wants to do and pray against it, and your prayer will be effective and will build the fences and the hedges of protection around your part of the garden. And secondly, I want you to seek out the full measure of the unique and abundant purposes of God for you, and for you to pray for it. Will you do that? Will you think about your part of the garden, and then will you give God permission to lift your expectations and to lift your creativity and to give you ambition for what could be? Will you? Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. God gives us a prayer purpose in life, which is to look after the garden. You're the gardener, and you're called to watch over and protect, to tend and to cultivate a specific, unique part of God's garden. Let's work together, shall we? To encourage one another and to pray for one another and pray over our unique God-given purposes for 2018. I believe God wants you to flourish this year, for your prayer to be effective in protecting and rich in fruitfulness. Lord, we come to you with in our mind's eyes, pictures of what our garden looks like, and for some it's a mess, and for some it looks okay. And I pray that you would transform the way we think about what you called us to. Pray that you will help us discern how to pray for protection. Would you protect these pieces of work, this call on our life? Show us how to pray into that. And would you help us to pray for safety and for abundance? And would you bless us with safety and abundance? In Jesus' name, amen. Love to hear from you if that prompts you to pray in a new way and you see things happen. I'd love to hear from you about that. Do email me, write to me, phone me, whatever. We want to give some time, if you're not frozen quite to death, to just to pray for one another. As I was talking, some of you know that your garden's in a mess. It's not very pretty, it's got lots of weeds, and it's not being tended. And you're feeling guilty about that, but you're also being challenged about it. And in a moment, I don't want to identify you individually, that's not fair, but I'd love to, as when we respond and there's an opportunity to come to the front, just run to the front and we'll pray for you. And may a new season come. But there's specific things I think we should pray for. And I'm just going to do a general prayer because, again, I don't want to embarrass somebody. But I think the first thing that pops into some of your minds is marriage, your marriage. And you know it needs cultivating and tending and praying over, and you haven't done that. So I'm going to pray for you that that will be put right. And then there's some of you who are single, and for that, for you, that's not a preferred choice. That's not where you want to be, and it's you haven't figured out your call in that area, what God wants for you, and I want to pray over that. So if that's you, just let me pray for you, and then everybody will say yes and amen. Lord, I pray for the marriages, all the marriages in this church. And goodness me, they're under threat in our society, but we pray for your protection over them. And we ask that you would release a new vision for what could be and should be. That we'll not put up with the status quo and the ordinary and the bland and the just getting by, but we will go for something special. And I pray for those who are worried about their marriages, where they know they're not in a good state. And I think the Lord wants to grant you right now, if that's you, just receive this, that he wants to grant you his forgiveness and his mercy right now. Receive his forgiveness and receive his mercy. difficult marriages are always made up of two parties. So own up for what is the problem in yours and ask for his forgiveness, and he will give it. Lord, I pray that you release your forgiveness and your mercy over those people now. And I pray that you will have a new vision for your marriage, and the Lord will empower you, to pray. You may or may not be able to do much, but you can pray. And Lord, I pray that you'll give ambition and words and creativity in prayer for the people for whom this is an issue. And I pray for those who are single, and I ask you to help them understand what your calling is. It is possible for some people that they are called to be single. For others, it isn't. And Lord, I ask you to give them clarity and expectation. And I pray that you'll give them wisdom to understand what the enemy is doing to spoil that. Help them as they pray over it. And may they gather people around them to pray with them.